The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Yo, welcome to the Dark Side of the Pooch. He is Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. I am Tony Curry. We're flying by the seat of our pants here because it has finally gotten cold outside. It's getting chilly, so I want to do... Oh, that's nice. I like that. Oh, look at that. What is that from there? Oh, is that something your daughter made or something?
Okay, this is funny.
Just thank you.
All right, so we're just gonna keep talking about those fish shows that we went to. I think. A friend and client of mine dropped off a postcard. That he got that was a fish postcard, and it was didn't have anything written on it or anything. I don't know where he got it, and so I mailed it to the band. I mailed Fish's own postcard back to them.
Nice.
And I just said, hey, thank you for coming to Birmingham. We enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed it too. And then obviously it's no one from the band, but someone at their office wrote me back.
Sweet. That's so nice. What did it say?
Oh, it just, it's got some inside little fish jokes on here. But basically it just says, you know, the band had a great time. Thank you for coming. Thank you for, thanking us basically.
Nice.
But yeah, this is a, so this is cool because it's a postcard that was designed by, Jim Pollock, who, does a lot of their posters.
Yeah.
And, so it's a, it's two arms. Each arm has 2 feet and it's holding up a thank you sign.
Nice. Well, that's a keeper, brother. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That will make the move, man. That'll make the move.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let me know when we're going to the show. I'm looking forward to it. It is finally cooling off. So we're going to get into what we do with our pets during the wintertime. And I don't think we could overstate this, but there are some new things that have happened just over the last couple of years that I think is worthy of bringing up to make sure that we take care of our little poochitos, including, of course, we're 6 days away from, or is it 5 days away from Halloween? Halloween's this Friday, right?
Yeah.
Today is the 27th. So 4 days away coming up this Friday. First of all, and I got lots of emails, info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. By the way, the show is brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Sasquatch Toys and Comics, wonderful people down there, Seth and those guys. If you're looking for stuff for the holidays, we're 2 months away from Christmas. Check out over 300,000 comics and every toy imaginable, Legos and everything else. Check out Sasquatch Toys and Comics right there in Homewood. $860 million. We are going to spend on Halloween costumes for dogs. Just talk briefly, just be a pet guy and just talk briefly about how important it is that, obviously you're leashed up. You don't want to have costumes that are too restrictive. You're taking your animal. Now everyone's got golf carts and people putting hay in the back of vans. And, it used to be everyone walked the neighborhood. You'd shut it down. You didn't have to worry about anybody getting hit or anything. But times are, they are a different. They are a changing.
I don't have any problem with pets in costume. I don't think I've ever seen a pet costume that was dangerous.
Yeah.
I think probably the main hazard with pets in costumes is the animal eating part of it or some of it, or, whatever. Don't give them any candy. Just don't give them any candy. Forget, this candy's fine and this candy's not. Just don't give them any candy. Okay. It's going to upset their stomach at best. At best, it's going to upset their stomach. At worst, it's going to, cause them to get super hyperactive and have an arrhythmia and die.
Okay.
So just, no candy. If you have trouble getting rid of your candy, you can bring it up here. We have tons of people that will eat it for you.
There you go.
So.
Okay. All right.
Save yourself the vet bill and just bring all of the candy that you were going to feed your dog to us.
There you go. It's funny. I was pulling up, but normally whenever I get ready to do your show, I Google the word pets just to see what's up. And then I hit news, and it gives me like all the latest and what's going on. If there's anything crazy that I've missed, And every article has to do with vaccinations, how to keep your dogs vaccinated. Lollipop Farms offering free dog vaccinations, free pet vaccinations. Vaccine skepticism comes from pet owners, too. I'm not sure if it's National Vaccination Day, or I don't know why all these vaccination stories are coming up. And they're everywhere from the LA Times to the New York Times to WHEC in New Hampshire. They're all over the place. Talk about our skepticism for vaccines. We've been through this before, but I think it's worth revisiting again. I think that we would treat our animals a little differently than we treat our children, but maybe not. But is there anything that's made you draw an eyebrow or make you think, hey, this doesn't seem safe for me? And just the importance of vaccinations for our pets.
Well, I guess that people too often they go to resources that are not correct.
Yes.
So that's one mistake that they do. And then another mistake that they do is they assume that animals are like us. And so those are two pretty big mistakes.
Yep.
I had someone one time ask me, hey, and they were kind of being combative, like, all right, Dr. Stewart, do you get the flu vaccine? Not often. No. So why are you trying to push the flu vaccine on me and my animals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, okay, that's fair. Does your dog ever sneeze? Yes. Does it cover its mouth when it sneezes? No. Does your dog ever wash its hands or paws? No. Okay. Does your dog ever put its nose directly onto another dog's nose?
Yeah.
Yes. Does your dog ever stick its nose in another dog's butthole? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Do you as a human do any of those things? He quickly got the point.
Yeah.
So, animals get a lot of vaccines because animals are not hygienic and they put themselves in harm's way many, many times. We do our very best to be sure that we are vaccinating appropriately and effectively. And we go to great lengths to be sure that we are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that some vaccines last longer than 1 year. Like there's a rabies vaccine that we give lasts longer than last 3 years.
Yeah.
There's a feline vaccine that we don't give annually to pets that don't go outside. For elderly patients that are not at high risk for certain viruses and bacteria, we may skip vaccines on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think, America at somewhere lost their ability to trust anyone but themselves.
Yeah.
Some of that is, because we as a human race are awful. And there are lots of people that will try to take advantage of you. And there are lots of people that have done that. And there are lots of people that have been taken advantage of. And I get that.
I want people to listen to this. It's all fear-based, isn't it? I mean, it's all fear-based. And if you read the Bible, you understand how the world works. Everything's based off fear or happiness and or joy. And so we buy and do things because we're either scared shitless or we really feel good about that thing at that moment in time. And I think it's because people feed off fear and they realize it sells.
Everyone's a skeptic. Like, just for example, I had a lady today call me, and she has a cat that is just a sickly animal. It's got several things wrong with it, and it is on a medication to help get rid of some of the problems that the cat has. Since we've started the medication, the cat has gotten better. But this lady is very fearful that the medication will cause more harm than good, even though the medication has helped several of the problems already.
Okay.
And so she called me up today and said, hey, I haven't given the medication today because I just don't feel like it's the right thing to do.
Okay.
And, it's like, okay, you're calling me to tell me that your cat is sick, and we know the reason why it is sick, and we know this is the medication that we should give to it to make it not sick, but then you won't give the medication.
Yeah. That's at some point you just got to put your hands up and go, yeah, okay, well, that's fine. I did what I did. I'm sending you a bill and I expect you to pay it. And if I can do anything else for you, let me know. I mean, that's seriously, that's what you got to do. I mean, you can't deal
with this. Is what we're up against.
You can't fix, fix stupid, man. I mean, you can't.
This is what we're up against. And yep. this is what the internet does.
Yep. It sure
the internet is not, sometimes it's great. Like, you know, sometimes it's great. Sometimes yeah. you can find information out and then you can be like, oh man, I never knew that I could use this treatment for cancer, and it ends up working.
Let me tell you something I did, and people are going to say that's crazy. I do not surf. I will never surf. I never surfed. I'm not going to surf. I do not surf the web. I will go to the web specifically to find something. Will something catch my eye and make me click on it for clickbait? Absolutely. But as far as just getting on there and surfing and swiping and looking just to be entertained, I have never done it. I'm not going to. I don't have a reason to do that. I'm not on social media anymore. And I'll be like, oh, I've got hacked so many times from sick freaks out there that I don't feel the need to do it. And I feel like, hey, if God wants my business to go well without using social media, he'll figure it out for me. I'm seriously, because it's cleared my brain so much. And I realize that time where you get that thing last week, you spent 18 hours and 43 minutes. I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm not spending 18 hours a week on the internet. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. You do what you do, you, I'll do me. But I guess the majority of it out there, it will find you. It will find you. It is patient. It is demonic. I'm not saying everything is out there. The internet's the best thing that ever happened to us, but it's one of the worst things that ever happened to us. And just be careful with it. All right.
Twitter had me for Twitter had me.
Oh, Twitter had me. Oh man.
I'm addicted to it. Seriously, for a little while. And then finally one day I realized that I'm not seeing anything of any value whatsoever at all. Yeah. And so I will still get on there occasionally, like specifically for James Spann. I will go and I will check Spann's feed about if there's a storm coming or like what, you know, when we didn't rain for 2 months, I was like, oh crap. Like should I shut my sprinklers off? You know what I'm saying? So very, very similar to you with the internet. The only time I get on Twitter now is if I am specifically looking for information from one trusted source, and I will search their name and check and then move on. There is more scrolling.
And that's where the skepticism's coming from. We're not here we're not going to have a get off my lawn moment here, but everyone goes, well, you know, the 75% of us get all of our news now from the internet. Well, what do you think you're going to get? I'm telling you, I still watch the big three. Yeah, sometimes the fourth, that's Fox. And I swear, yeah, I know they lean one way or another. I realize that. But I tell you what, I trust ABC. I trust NBC. I trust CBS. And I trust Fox. I trust all the news organizations. I know they're going to push me one particular way, and that's fine. I'm a big boy. I can realize when I'm being snowed over a little bit, or realize that they're reading this story in front of this story. But you get on the internet, you don't know what the hell you're reading. And so it's kind of like, today, I saw something from one of my favorite televangelists. And it said something about, you must listen to this message about Donald Trump before you do another thing, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, all right, you know, because I was looking for some inspiration this morning. I was looking for some motivation. I had already seen the show that he aired this morning, and I wanted to see some new content. And so I pulled it up on YouTube, and I hit it and realized that the entire 28 minutes and 11 seconds were AI generated. The entire thing was generated. It was David Jeremiah, and the entire thing was not him. It was all about him and Donald Trump and how we need to be careful about blah, blah, blah. And it was, none of it was him. And I was like, oh, see, I mean, yeah.
I was just about to say that so many articles today on the internet are they're made by AI, whether it's truth or not truth.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, so many things are being written by AI. Yeah. And all the videos that you see, I'm telling you, like, I don't know what's real and what's not.
I know it. There you go. Okay, enough of that. Dog paws, chemical de-icers, ice melt, antifreeze, things that can hurt your dog's paws, or if they lick their paws, can it make them sick? I know it's going to get an email on that. info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. Do we need to worry about, we don't have a lot of issues down here because we don't have a lot of ice, but I know up north, a lot of, my dad used to always have a big old thing of rock salt. He used to put it on the driveway because he had to drive all night and deliver newspapers. Any worry there for a little dog paws? If they get that on there, can it irritate them? Can they get sick by eating it? What's the deal?
I mean, I have to be honest with you, I'm totally ignorant when it comes to that kind of stuff because we just don't. I've never seen a dog have any problems from any type of salting of the roads, or anything like that. Now, I have not many times, but I have seen a couple of cases of antifreeze toxicity. That will be, I mean, it's fatal in a very short period of time. For animals, it shuts their kidneys down. I mean, it will close their kidneys permanently.
If you see any wet spots in the garage, man, beware, because obviously a lot of, and usually when people are filling their antifreeze or whatever, they're going to spill some, but yeah, and it looks appetizing, and that's the freak. Dogs will always lick it first before they decide they don't want it.
Yeah. And I think that I guess the reason we're seeing less and less of it is because I don't think many people do their own car maintenance anymore. You know, it's just kind of difficult to work on cars now. Mm-hmm. I never knew how to work on the first car, but now especially I can't. We had a Honda Odyssey, and it was like an act of Congress to even get to the battery. It was crazy. Yeah. So I think that I'm not seeing much of that. I haven't seen a case of, we call it ethylene glycol toxicosis, because that's what it is. Yeah. Ethylene glycol is antifreeze. I mean, I have not seen one in maybe a decade.
I have a Honda Odyssey out in my driveway right now with 245,360 miles on it. I'm going to drive it till the wheels fall off. Could you change a tire right now if I asked you to?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a good thing. That's something. That's the first time your boy changes the tire without having to ask it. I was so proud of him. I was like, hey, man. He goes, you're not going to believe what happened. I was going to the airport, and my tire blew out. And I was like, okay, your trip canceled. I said, what'd you do? He goes, I changed my tire. I was like, look at you, boy. Yeah. I said, there you go. It's because I made him do it in the driveway before he left. I was like, you're going
to. Yeah, you got to. You got to teach him how to do that
stuff. I said, find out where the jack is. Find out as soon as you find it, you figure it out, and then boom, you're good to go. I love that. InfoTonyCurryRadio.net. InfoTonyCurryRadio.net. Matt in Birmingham wanted to give a heads up. This is perfect for cold weather, that you can actually walk your dogs inside Lowe's and Home Depot. So if it gets too cold outside or you don't want to take your dogs outside, they have a deal where you can just walk your dogs inside, obviously, and PetSmart or any place you want to go. It's so weird taking a dog into a PetSmart, because I'm very, very cognizant now of people still try to bring them into Publix, restaurants, things like that. But yeah, you can actually take, they have an open dog policy there where you can bring your animals, and some people actually walk them into Home Depot and just walk around for like an hour if they want to get some dog exercise. So I did not know that. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I see, I mean, I guess in a roundabout way, I did know that. I see a dog in Home Depot almost every time I go in, and I know that it's not a service dog. Yeah. You can just tell.
Yeah, there you go. InfoTonyCurryRadio.net. Ruby in Northport says, please talk to Dr. Rab about it being as equally as important not to leave your dog in a cold car as it is a hot car. All right, explain that to me.
So animals die from being too cold, obviously, and we have to be really aware of it when we do surgery, because their body temperature drops. So animals, if their core temperature gets much less than 96 degrees for an extended period of time, it can be very harmful.
And what is their standard temperature? We're 98.6. What is a standard dog? What is it?
It has a pretty big range from 99.5 to 102.5, and cats are the same.
Okay.
But they don't really regulate their temperature very well. So when they get hot, they'll have it's not a fever, but their temperature will be higher than normal. And if they get cold, like one of the ways to tell, if you have a very sick cat, one of the ways to tell how close it is to dying is its temperature.
Really?
If you have a low temp and a very sick cat, it's a very poor indicator of long-term survival, even short-term survival. So they don't really thermoregulate very well. Their temperature can vary wildly based on their environment. So that's why when they get cold, their temperature can get too low.
What do you do now when you talk about a low temperature? You're talking like a sick low temperature. You're not talking about just because it's been outside in 20 degree weather, although that could be certainly significant towards that too. But so if an animal comes in and has a really low temperature, and that means it's really, really sick, what do you want to do or they do to raise that temperature, but you're really not fixing the sickness, correct? What do you do then?
Well, you want to raise the temperature because there's a primary reason that maybe they're not moving around to keep their temperature where it needs to be. So even if it's just symptomatic treatment, you want to get their temperature up so that you can advise you time to try to figure out what's wrong.
Okay.
So it's just like anything else. You put a Band-Aid on it until you can cure it. But we have, there's all kind of things that we have to keep animals warm. We have these, they're called bear huggers. So it's almost like, it almost looks like a hair dryer mm-hmm. with like this big, like, inflatable, like pillow that goes around them. There's hot water. They're kind of like blankets, like a pad. And you can crank it up to like, you know, 107 degrees and let them kind of lay on it. And then you can warm up IV bags and wrap them in a towel and just kind of put them in the kennel with them because they'll put off heat. But you have to be careful, you know, because you can burn them.
Yeah, I can imagine that for sure. Speaking of burning dogs, we have a Chihuahua on fire here. Andy in Birmingham said that please tell people. A lot of people are reminding us that I guess they listen to the show and animals are such a big part of our families, but please remind people about dogs and fire pits. First one, we used to have Maxie, little white dog. It was just totally oblivious to fire. I don't know if it didn't feel it. I don't know what the dog was always falling in the swimming pool. It was just kind of dumb. Rainer's very cognizant. It does knows something's not right. It feels the heat. It gets away from it. Maxie will stand up against, you know, the fire pit until she starts to catch on fire. And then, of course, she would yelp. She hasn't done that, thank goodness, and she's not with me anymore. And I thank the goodness because whenever I had my fire pit, man, I always had to keep an eye on her because she will get around. But let's talk about dogs and fire pits. Not all dogs can feel the heat.
We have a patient that would always go up to the fire and touch the fire. And I can't figure it out. I don't know why they do it. But if your dog is around fire,
you know what? No, you had a patient who would touch the fire. What do you mean?
I mean, if they had an open flame,
yeah,
like they were camping, yeah, this dog would go up as close as it possibly could to the fire.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah.
So if you I don't know whose internet it was, mine or yours, but it was you're kind of cutting out. But I thought the question was basically, you know, how can fire harm, you know, animals?
And we just assume that we see fire and we go, fire's hot, we stay away from it. But animals aren't like that. Like they'll walk right up to a stove, they'll walk up you think that when they see it, they would know, but a lot of animals don't see open flames. I don't think dogs know what open flames are sometimes.
Yeah, the first time that you have a dog or a cat around an open flame, you need to kind of have control of them.
Yeah.
Keep them on a leash or something, because most of them will feel the heat and like we would, they'll back away from it. But like I said, I mean, we have a pet here and they've since moved. But I mean, the woman brought the dog in multiple times for burning itself.
Really? It almost mm-hmm. sounds like a DHR thing or something for an animal.
Yeah.
Because if you're obviously around, it's funny because we just assume that dogs will look at a fire and go, that's hot, but they don't know what the hell that is. And they'll walk right up to it. And particularly if you're cooking hot dogs or marshmallows on it or something like that, they're totally oblivious to stuff like that as well. InfoTonyCurryRadio.net, InfoTonyCurryRadio.net. Tim in Bessemer says, is it ever safe to give your dog hot chocolate or any hot drink during the wintertime? I know that animals aren't supposed to have chocolate. Is that the same as hot chocolate? Is it the same type of things? Are the same things in hot chocolate? Is the same things in regular chocolate? And is there a warm type? Can you give a dog tea or and does it work? Is it a good thing for an animal to have hot liquids during the wintertime?
They're not supposed to have any kind of chocolate. So hot chocolate is no different than, you know, any other kind of chocolate. Okay. As far as hot liquids, that's not something that I've ever tried. You know, depending on what it is, it's, you know, dogs are not supposed to have caffeine. So, you know, tea and coffee are also out. It's just not something that you want to do. Dogs and caffeine don't really mix very well. They get really hyper, they can have heart problems. So, you know, don't do caffeine either. So, you know, then basically you're limited. If you take out hot chocolate, you take out tea, you take out coffee. I mean, what's really left, you know,
hot water. If you put like a warm water on the floor in front of them, would they drink that and go, ooh, that really tastes good because it's warm. Like we do with a cup of coffee.
I think they'd probably try it, but I don't think they would like it.
Yeah. I think you're right. I don't think it'd be very satisfying, and they probably don't think that, that something warm in their bodies would actually make them feel very good. Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Over 300,000 comics. Great for the holidays, Seth and Ben, the entire crew down there. They do wonderful work, anything from Legos, and of course, they buy, sell, and trade. If you got some old stuff in the 60s, 70s, 80s, they got cards, they got kind of things down there, man. You're going to find what you're looking for. Check out Sasquatch Toys and Comics. We're going through some of the things that are going on with animals. Got another question here about heat blankets, and by the way, I pulled some of these from the last couple of years. I tried to find a bunch of cold types of things. I love this weather. I just think it's fantastic. I'm so glad that it's cold, and you and I have had this discussion. Now that I'm going to turn 60 next year, I'm like, oh man, like last night I slept with effing socks on. I have never slept with socks on a day in my life. I could not. I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? I slept with socks on last night. I never do that. I slept with socks on last night. I'm like, I'm turning into my ex-wife. It's scary. What about
you're going to be in trouble in a couple of days, man. Gosh. I think it's getting to like lows 37. What are you going to do then?
I don't know, but I also am in the no heat zone. You know what the no heat zone is, right?
Yeah,
you know exactly what I'm talking about. Every man does this.
Don't turn it on.
Don't turn it on. We all sit there and we try to figure out what's the quickest way to get there so we can set a record. We also see how many days we can go without using the heat so we can save like $4 on our electric bill. And so I have gone since, I have not turned the heat on yet. Have you?
So we have, my brother-in-law told us about these thermostats. They're called Ecobees.
Mm-hmm.
And you can set them so that, you know, the heat will not come on unless, you know, your house is like 63 degrees, which is where I set mine.
Yeah.
So my heat won't kick on unless it gets below 63 degrees in my house.
Okay. So I don't have, right now it is currently 66 in here. So I go 66. Now it's going to be down in the 40s tonight. So I can pretty much plan on it being at 64, 63 tomorrow morning. I think I can make it maybe a couple more days. But like you said, it's going to the 30s. But I'm going to do everything I can. I don't have the kids this week. So I think I can make it till next week.
You got plenty of clothes.
Yeah, no, I got plenty of clothes. It's just amazing to me how cold I'm getting as I get. I mean, my skin is just like super sensitive. And like I feel every little. You know, I saw this thing about some special Tide that's supposed to make your clothes softer. I'm like, who the hell needs softer clothes? I do. It bothers me. I don't even like to put a scratchy sweater on. I'm like, oh, no. That's going to scratch my, that's going to hurt. That's not going to, I'm like, dude, what is my problem? That's strange. Heating blankets, anything for heating blankets okay for dogs? It's funny because I'll see my dog sweating his ass off in the summertime. And what does he do? He goes out and sits in the hot sun. We've all seen that before where they'll sunbathe and it'll be 93 degrees. I'm like, dude, you just came inside because you're really hot. Now you're sunbathing and it's almost like, stop that. But you figure they must know what they're doing, right? They know if they're going to get too hot. So would a dog sit in a heating blanket too long to the point where it would make itself sick?
Yeah, they'll burn themselves on it. And don't ask me why or how, but they will.
Okay.
They'll burn themselves on it.
Right.
So you just have to be careful.
All right. Toby in Birmingham wants to know, do you know of any good places to get dog pictures with Santa Claus? We talked about this. You and I talked about this a couple of years ago. I actually was going to take some pictures in your lobby, and you said I could do that. And then I realized what I was getting myself into. It wasn't worth it because I had to get a scanner and I had to get a picture. And I was like, what am I doing here? And I was going to, am I going to sit in Dr. Rab's office for 6 hours on a Saturday? This is crazy. And people weren't going to be buying like $49.95 packages. I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I think pretty much wherever you go, I think like you at the Galleria, I think you can get your pictures taken there with a dog. If you really want to have a pet picture taken,
We have a I'm sure that you could I guess I shouldn't say this. There's a place that has a really good Santa that is at the Summit, and I mean I doubt they would turn you away. Actually, I know they wouldn't, because I think we were in there one time and a girl brought her dog in.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted a picture with her dog and Santa, and he did it. So
there you go.
I mean, unless they've changed their policies, I know that you can do that.
There you go. You always have a couple of good stories to share. Something interesting is happening. We haven't talked in a couple of weeks, a week and a half, something like that. Anything interesting happening in your dog world?
Not in my dog world. Well, not that that
yeah, it
trumps.
Could be, it could
the,
be off the table. Not, it could be yeah, it could be whatever you want. Man.
Not the night that I spoke to Gene Simmons and I was robbed on Arkadelphia Road.
Okay. All right. I don't know what you, I don't know what you're talking about there. Do you want to expand on that? You can't throw that out there and just pretend you didn't say it.
So, okay. So a couple of weeks ago, I think, Ace Frehley died.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know the last time he played with Kiss. I mean, it's
been a long time.
Probably been 20, 25 years, if not longer. But so that reminded me of their last tour, their farewell tour that they had in 2001. Mm-hmm. And then they continued to tour for like 20 years after
played
that.
Played the BJCC, anyway, yeah.
At the BJCC. Mm-hmm. So I respect the heck out of Kiss. Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, whatever you think about their music, that's fine. But their ability to market themselves is second to none. So I have great respect for Kiss. But I had a friend in high school who was a huge Kiss fan. And when he found out this was going to be their last tour, I'm a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, listen, Kiss is coming to the BJCC. I'm getting us tickets and we're going. And I was like, okay, fine.
You were a senior in 2001?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So this would have been the spring of 2001, I believe. I guess it could have been the spring of 2000, but I'm pretty sure we were about to graduate.
Yeah, am I 17 years older than you are?
I guess I just act very mature.
Wow, I look pretty good. I look pretty good for 17 years older than you. Okay, continue. Go ahead.
Maybe I look bad. What are you trying to say?
No, yeah. I mean, I thought you and I were. I thought you were in your 50s. You're not even close. All right, continue.
I'm 42, man.
God, I got a lot of living to do, man.
Okay, so anyway, so we finished school, and this friend does not do anything small. He does everything big. Everything he still does everything big. And so we got our dates and we're hanging around in North Alabama and we're going to go see Kiss. I mean, it's, you know, it's his dream come true. So he's acting like it's his dream and, you know, doing things that a high schooler should not be doing.
Okay.
And he continued cause I was a driver and he continued to do that all the way to Birmingham.
Mooning people off the window.
Do what? Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? What? I'm trying to think.
No.
Oh, okay.
He had an early relationship with Jack Daniels.
Gotcha. Certainly understand. Yeah.
And so anyway, we make it to the BJCC and we're basically at this point having to carry the dude in there.
Mm-hmm.
And our seats are on the front row.
Oh, wow.
Like we're front row for Kiss at their farewell.
That's impressive.
Tour. Now we're on the side of the stage. We're on the
okay.
Gene Simmons side.
That's okay.
Yeah. So we're on the side, but my friend, seriously, he can't stand up the whole show. He cannot stand up. And so Gene Simmons keeps and we're with you know two girls and our you know dates are pretty good looking.
Yeah.
And so Gene Simmons keeps walking to the edge of the stage, and he's talking to us, and he's going, "Get up, stand up. Come on, I'm not gonna let you sit down. You got to stand up." So finally, we're like, Gene Simmons tells us we got to stand up. So we prep him up for the rest of the show. It's no problem. But then we go home and we're driving home and you know, what goes in has to come out. And
yeah.
So finally, my buddy, he's like, you got to pull over. And so to get home where we're from the BJCC, you go through Forestdale. I think it's the Arkadelphia Road exit where Birmingham Southern is, whatever.
Yep.
So we take that exit and there's a Chevron right there. There used to be a Chevron right there. It may still be there. I'm not sure.
It is.
And he was like, you got to pull over. And I was like, dude, anywhere but here. Yeah. Come on. Come on. He's like, unless you want me to throw up in your car, pull over. And I was like, okay. So he walks into this little alley, you know, by that Chevron, but he doesn't come back alone. He's got a guy with him and he says, hey, listen, little kids, I helped your guy here. He was puking in the alley and, helped him out a lot. And I'm going to need you to help me out now or things could maybe get ugly.
Oh no.
So, I mean, you know, the girls are kind of freaking out at this point. My friend who is a massive human being, like he was jacked, still jacked to this day, but he's totally useless.
You know,
incapacitated. And so I just, whatever I had in my wallet, I gave him the whole thing. I was like, here you go, bud. Thank you for taking care of my friend. And hopefully you'll let us ease on down the road now.
There you go. That's good. That's a great story. I love that. We should share more of these rock and roll stories. I think that'd be good. Do you know who Rick Carter is?
Oh, yeah.
I ran into Rick. I've known Rick for 40 years.
Rolling in the hay.
Yep. Telluride. Troubadours. Here, hold on a sec. Hold on. I just ran into him the other day, and he had one of these out. He goes, "Do you have my book?"
Oh, wow.
He goes, "Do you have my book?" And I said, "No." I said, "No, I do not. Fables and Stories from an Alabama Troubadour." And the only reason he gave me this one is because he's coming out with his second. And he said, "You know, you should write a book." And I said, "You know, I had something in the works." And then life happened, and my lawyer at the time said, probably wouldn't be a good time to do a tell-all Tony Curry book at this time, since you're going through a messy divorce with child custody in the balance. And I said, I understand, and probably still won't. So I said, I understand, but it's written really, really well. I said, man, I need to promote this. So he's like, aren't you doing like podcasts and stuff like that? And I said, yeah. And he goes, dude, he goes, why don't you ever call me? We'll do a podcast. So we're going to start doing a new show. But much along your ideas of your rock and roll story you just had there, if you read his book, it's just a bunch of short stories, and there's nothing that's covered up. It's all real. It's all. And that's what I said. I said, I'm going to have to put something at the beginning of my book. I'm going to have to put everything in this book is real and true the way I remember it.
Right.
That way I'm clean and cut, because I know my stories have gotten out there, and I know that there's some things that are hard to believe. I know they're true. There are some things that I think I've told so many times that I believe it is true, but I really don't sure if it is true or not. To be honest with you, there's one story that I've told so many times, and I'm thinking, and someone said, did that really happen? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, and I start thinking back, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure. I've been telling that story for 35 years. I'm not sure if that really happened or not. And I can't. Isn't that crazy?
No, it's not. It's not crazy.
So, but best of my recollection, it did happen. So yeah. So
that should be the name of the book.
What's that? Best of my recollection.
Best of my recollection.
I'm going to write that down. Best of my recollection. Yeah, because I know he does a great job too at protecting the people he's talking about in there. But I think if you do the math, I think you can figure out who I'm talking about. And these things. And this guy's played with the Allman Brothers. I mean, he's played with Jimmy Buffett, the P-52s, Bob Dylan, Jimmy Hall, Marcus King, Jason Isbell, the Marshall Tucker Band, ZZ Top, Widespread Panic. I mean, this guy. And he's still playing 270 shows a year.
Yeah.
Dude, and he's like 67 years old. I'm like, dude. And he still looks as rustic. And I mean, it was so good to run into.
That hair. I've never seen him with hair that long.
Oh, yeah. He's and it's still that long right now. But he's an icon, man. He's an icon.
Yeah, a friend of mine, old coworker, Andy Sokol, man, he loves Telluride.
Yeah.
And him and Rick Carter are close friends. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, I saw his band Rolling in the Hay. They were a staple.
Oh, man.
At fraternity parties when I was in school. And then when I was in Alabama, anytime you got them to play your party, your band party, it was going to be awesome.
Get it going, yeah.
And then I saw them a few times. Every time they were at the Supper Club, the old Supper Club that is now a Chevrolet dealership, I believe, in Auburn. Every time they were there, I tried to go. They played there all the time. It was awesome.
Yeah. I used to be friends with Kevin Derryberry. He used to play a place up on Valley Avenue right next to Sammy's, now the Pink Pony, called Corey's. And he used to always play a request for me called Hot Tub. And he's like, she's in my hot tub. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 bitches in my hot tub. In my hot tub. And that's all he did. And he would play that song for like 30 minutes. It was just called Hot Tub. And it was just, and I remember that song. And I would request it. I'd give him a $20 bill. And now, of course, he's singing at churches. And he's been doing that now for about 20, 25 years. He found the Lord, thank goodness. And he is a very, very happy animal because of it. But, man, we used to have a good time. God's been really good to us, man. He got us through all those times. I try to think about all the times that I probably shouldn't have made at home many a night. And somehow it happened, man. And here we are talking about it. So that's a good stuff. It's good stuff. The Lord is good. All right, my man. Tell people how they can find you.
You can call us at 208-0301. You can email us rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com. And we are also on Facebook.
Yeah, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Have you been down there yet? You need to go down to Sasquatch and get down there and check it out. You're going to love the place. I took my my daughter and my son down there the other day. And,
I have been down there.
It is like blows your mind. I'm not a comic guy, but it's crazy. I mean, I found myself in there just wanting to go through bins of stuff and find things. I didn't realize the comic business was like that. There's over 300,000 comics, but they got Legos, and he's actually asked me if he could go through all my autograph stuff and make a bid on it. I said, obviously, and if I have an autograph of James Taylor, it's going to be worth a lot more to me than it would be to someone that would want to buy it off a shelf. I said, but if you want to take a stab at a price, I'm more than willing to listen to what you got to say, because I got a bunch of guitars and stuff like that. But he wants to get in that realm of the business as well. So maybe you'll see some of Tone to Bone stuff down there as well. All right, man, I love you. Have yourself a wonderful day.
See you, bud.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.